Would you stand and sing that with us, please? 177 in the book if you need it. Ready?
Welcome you to our worship today. If you're visiting with us for the first time and have never filled out a guest card, we would invite you to do so. Today we will be speaking greatly about listening to that name of Jesus. And Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." I stand at the door and knock. Are we listening? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we have gathered here today to worship you. We are in your presence. The moment is now. The opportunity is life-changing. The power of the Holy Spirit is in this place. And it is in the name of Jesus that we worship and we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and sing hymn number 451. Tell it to Jesus.
Tell it to Jesus. pray. Our dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come today giving thanks for all the many blessings you have done for us and given to us. We ask that you guide, lead, and direct us. Give us words, wisdom, action, patience, and understanding to do thy will. Please be with those that are in need, and we ask that you accept and bless these tithes and offerings to be used for thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
How are y'all today? Quiet. I like that. It's good to be quiet in church. Well, how many ears do y'all have? Three? Anybody got three ears? Four? Five? How many ears you got? Two. How many eyes you got? How many mouths you got? So you got two ears, you got two eyes, and you got one mouth. I wonder if that tells us anything. You reckon we might ought to listen and watch maybe twice as much as we talk? Maybe the way we hear from God is a little different. There's a great story in Samuel. When Samuel was a little bitty boy, and Samuel would be a very important person in Israel. He would anoint kings. He would anoint David, and he would also anoint Saul first, and then David, and ultimately Solomon as king. And when he was a little boy, he was asleep one night, and he heard a voice. Now, let's just read what it says. The Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here am I." But he thought it was Eli. He was living in the temple, and there was a priest there by the name of Eli. And so he ran to Eli when he heard the voice, and he said, "I'm here." And Eli said, "Go back to bed. I didn't call you." And again the Lord called, and Samuel again got up, and he ran to Eli, and Eli said, "I didn't call you." And the third time it happened, and the scripture says, then Eli figured out, or perceived is that word, that the Lord was calling Samuel. Therefore Eli said to him, "Go and lie down. And if God calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant hears.'" speak, Lord, your servant hears. And the Lord came and stood as the other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. I want you to hear what the Lord said. And then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. Now, we talked about having two ears, and we certainly listen. We listen to music. We listen. But you know, we can also learn just by watching. And sometimes folks can teach us something. Now, the congregation doesn't know they're part of the children's sermon today, but they are. Because I'm going to give them one word of direction. Y'all listening? And they're going to show you something. They're going to show you how you can listen without words. Did you know you could listen without words? All right, let's try this out. Let me get up here. I'm going to give them one sentence. Congregation, do what I motion and show you how to do. That's all they're getting. Now watch this. Watch it. Boy, they look silly. But did you notice that they did? Why? Because they were watching. And they understood what they were looking for. When we understand what we're looking for, like when Samuel understood that he was listening to hear what God would say to him, he saw things differently. He responded differently. He acted differently. That's why we come to church. That's why we listen to mom and dad. We're trying to learn to understand how to be all that God wants us to be. That's very important. So, two eyes, let's watch a lot. Two ears, let's listen a lot. And when the right time is, then we'll speak. Let's pray again. God, thank you for us being here today. We're excited about your presence with us all the time. We're grateful for Samuel, who would go on to do great things because he listened with everything to who you were. You bless us now. In Christ's name.
God, I need to hear from you. I want our relationship to become better and more obvious.
He who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says.
I need to hear from you in such a way I will know you are speaking, and it is not just me thinking you are speaking. I am so worried about so many things.
Come unto me, everyone who has a burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your soul.
Things are hard, and I need to hear from you. I worry all the time about the kids, the family, work, and about the church.
Who can add 1 inch to their height by worrying? I can take care of the lilies and the birds, and you are so much more important than they are.
I really need to hear from you because I am trying to juggle the schedules of everyone. Work, school, family responsibilities, ball games, community events, and I really don't have time to do all the things they teach me at church. Tell me, Lord, how can I get it all done?
Seek me first and follow my righteous plan for your life, and all these other things will be added unto you.
I really need to hear from you, God. I think I am at the end of my rope. It is worse than anyone knows. I really need to hear from you.
I am right here. I am standing at your heart's door and gently knocking. If you will open your heart to me, I will come in and share the food of life with you. I want to bless you, but you must open the door.
I need to hear from you, God. I need a burning bush or the clouds opening up. I need something big.
You have the Bible and the prophets. If you don't hear my word, there you will not hear something big, even if I were to come back from the dead and speak to you.
I get it, Lord. You speak to all my needs through the Bible, your word. The answers and the directions for my life are there. If I spend time reading and praying, you will speak clearly to me about my stress, my problems, the way I do relationships with my family, my decision making. It is all there in your word.
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says.
Thanks for talking with me. I do feel better.
Whosoever will may come.
Let's take our hymnals and turn to number 450, I Need Thee Every Hour. Let's stand as we sing.
I hope that we never allow the familiarity of our hymns to not grab you. In fact, I would encourage you that each time you sing, to look for one new truth in the hymn. And the one that grabbed me, and maybe it's because we Baptists don't often, or at least years gone by, we didn't sing the third verse very often. You know that, first, second, and last? But the third verse, I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. Powerful words. We need the Lord in every moment, in every choice, in every decision. The hymns teach us such wonderful truths. You sang it so well, by the way. I would tell you that as well. Let me invite you to look at our prayer concerns. There are several that we need to be remembering and asking God to continue to help in their process. Ashton McElvain is recuperating from surgery, and we want to keep lifting her up. It is good to see Miss Heather Hickman sitting in the balcony today. We are delighted for her. We keep praying. We keep our fingers crossed and keep knocking on wood, but we're excited about what seems to be taking place there. I got word today that Cindy Johnson, that's Steve Johnson, the pastor of Zion's wife, has had surgery this past week for breast cancer, and we want to be remembering her. I texted Steve and told him that we would be praying for her and adding her to our prayer list, and he thanked you for doing that for her. You also see the name Bob Koval. Bob is out of the hospital, but we want to continue to keep him lifted up as well. And then I would ask you to join me, a dear friend of mine, one of those stalwart members that if he came here within a year, he would have been one of our best members, because that's the way he was, Bill Davis at Irwin. He passed away yesterday from pancreatic cancer, and I would ask that you remember his wife, Faye, in your prayers in a very special way. Would you pray with me? God, we are excited about being in your presence. For we know, Lord, there is more possibility in your presence than anywhere else in the world. There are more things that could occur, that can occur, that should occur when we gather in your name. We lift the names of these we've mentioned to you, O God, and ask your blessing to be upon them, as you know there is need. And we pray, O God, that as we continue now to lift you up and to listen for your voice, that you would speak to us through the music, and may the Spirit speak in that still small voice. And we who have ears, let us hear. In Jesus' name.
Precious Lord.
that doesn't stir you, we need to pray. Thank you, choir. Precious Lord, and you did it beautifully. Thank you for that. The book of James. It helps to date me a little bit. We'll read that passage because when I was a young person, we had juniors. You remember being a junior? And I remember singing a song in our department. Can you remember departments? Out of James 1:22 comes a call for juniors true. Be ye doers of the word. James gives us tremendous insight. Doing can only be effective when we follow directions, and I think that's really what I want us to think about for a moment or two today. We're going to read James chapter 1. We're going to begin to read in verse 16, and we're going to read through the rest of that chapter. James chapter 1, verses 16 through 27. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. What a powerful statement. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The tone changes just a bit here. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear. You see our text. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and thereby slow to anger. For the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Powerful phrase. Let's read it again. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Be ye doers, not just hearers, because if only you're a hearer, he would say, you are deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Would you pray with me? God, we're listening. We're listening. We're listening with our spirit. We're listening with our mind. We're listening with everything. For should we hear from you today, it would make all the difference. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Are you a good listener? Most of us are good listeners if we like what we're listening to. Seems there were two ladies that were sitting together on the front pew of their church, and they had a fiery preacher, and he was really a revival preacher, and he was shucking the corn. You know what I'm saying? He was bringing it. And he began to condemn the sin of stealing. And the two ladies, they cried out, "Amen, brother, preach it, preach it." And then he condemned the sin of lust, and they yelled, "Preach it, Reverend, preach it." And then he got to the sin of lying, and they jumped to their feet and said, "Right on, brother, tell it like it is, amen, amen." And then he got to the sin of gossiping. And one of them looked at the other and said, "He done quit preaching and gone to meddling now." We like listening, and we like what we're hearing. When it fits in our ears comfortably. Are we good listeners to God? I think that's what James is reminding us, that before we become doers, we must first be listeners. A growing disciple is always trying to perfect that habit of listening, of their spirit listening to the Spirit of God. I want to give us three truths that he shares with us in this passage. The first one is that we need to be listening with our hearing. In verse 16, he says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights." And then he gives us some direction in verse 19. "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, valuing others." Chuck Swindoll made this observation. He said that the neighborhood bar is possibly the best counterfeit that there is to the fellowship of Christ. It is an imitation. Dispensing liquor or beer instead of grace. Escape rather than reality. But it is a permissive, accepting, and inclusive fellowship. It is unshockable. It's democratic. You can tell people secrets in the bar, and they usually don't tell others or even want to. Why does the bars flourish? Because God, Swindoll says, has put into the human heart the desire to know and to be known, to love and to be loved. And so many seek counterfeits instead. Maybe by now you've even seen in syndication, some of us may have seen it in its first run. You remember the television show Cheers? And their theme song. We ought to sing it in church, I think. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Listening, valuing people. I hate for folks not to be listening, don't you? Fewer things are more frustrating. Have you ever said these words? "You haven't heard a word I said, have you?" Well, if you've ever said that, think for a moment how you felt. Think of the emotion when suddenly you realize you were giving this wonderful explanation. You were giving this this wonderful direction. You were laying it out perfectly, and I mean you were at your finest, and you saw in the eyes or the body language that you weren't being heard, that the person to whom you were speaking was not listening. Someone has rightfully said they don't care how much we know till they know how much we care. Value people. Listening with our hearing. I can't tell you how I have discovered through the years, and I still need to perfect it myself. I'm still not as good a listener as I need to be, as I ought to be. I think by me making my living talking, that maybe sometimes I talk too much. And I'm always thinking when I'm with you that maybe you want me to say something, and maybe what you really need is just to listen. But I think of those people in my life. I think of people that when I walk in, and a lot of them were shut-ins. I can remember many of them. And you would sit down with them, and they would kind of lean in to hear what you had to say. And you could just see in their eyes that they were connected to you. They were listening to you. And what I realize is they were loving me by listening. They were caring for me by listening. Be quick to hear. Slow to speak. Listen. Listen. And then he reminds us that we need to be careful to what we listen. Therefore, in verse 21, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Well, there goes the TV and the radio and the DVDs. They're gone. And receive with meekness the implanted word. I would tell everybody to watch as much TV as you want to, as long as you read your Bible minute for minute. Twice as much as you listen to TV or radio. Twice as much. Read the implanted word and allow it to permeate your life, and it will change your life. I don't think it. I don't guess it. I guarantee it. You want to change your life today? Do you really want to change your life today? Do you really want to change your life today? Take my challenge. 1 week. Just 1 week. Do it 1 week and come back and tell me next Sunday whether I was right or whether I was wrong. Do it for a month and you'll never come back to me. Do it a year and you'll probably come back and say, "Preacher, that may have been the greatest sermon you ever preached, because that moment when I took that challenge from the Holy Spirit of God, it changed my world." We've got to be careful. We've got to be careful that even in the midst of this society, and I heard a story and I did some back reading to see, you may remember the tragedy that occurred in 1999. We know it now simply as the Columbine shooting. You remember Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold. And they were said to be fans of Marilyn Manson, the shock rock and roller, who has done so many terrible things on stage and the word of entertainment. But he was scheduled on April the 28th, 1999, just 8 days after the Columbine shooting, to perform in Iowa City, Iowa. And many, in fact, even some through some of the backstory I read, may have overconnected Eric and Dylan to Manson. But still, there was fear that there might be riots in Iowa City. And then the church did something that we're called to do, that we're supposed to do. Mike Forstrom, a youth minister in Iowa City, wrote these words: "The police, the media, and the community began to prepare for angry protests and possible brawls between Christians and Marilyn Manson supporters because emotions were so high. Suddenly, something totally unexpected happened. Emerging through the vehicle of email, a different local movement suddenly sprang up. The only way to truly change a moral climate is to soften hearts. Listen, value people, even people different from you. You see, the folks there began to realize that Manson had taught his people to hate Christians as much as Christians might hate the sins of those that were Manson followers. And so instead of a war, the idea was birthed to unravel the stereotypes by encouraging Christians to show in what they called pure love to the fans. Concert day arrived. Tension was filled. Extra security was everywhere. The media gathered. Maybe you remember it. But instead, they observed an amazing testament of the power and the love of Christ. Scores of Christians from churches all over Linn County and as far away as Des Moines, 2 hours away, converged on the sidewalks outside Five Seasons Center to do two positive things, to pray and to show pure love. It was a sight to behold. Groups conducted prayer walks around the arena. People prayed in huddles and on the sidewalks. Churches around the city had special meetings at the church buildings. And as for showing the love, one church purchased 1,000 pizzas and gave them away to the fans as they came into the stadium. Cookies and over 1,200 sodas were purchased and donated and distributed. Someone made turkey and cheese sandwiches, that's my favorite, and gave them away. One pastor asked Manson fans who passed by, was there anything he could pray for them with? And 20 gave him specific things, and he prayed with them right there on the spot. A youth group took up over $200 and paid for some parking for some of the fans. The Christians involved said, we're Christians, and we'd simply like to show you God's love by paying for your parking tonight. People continually ask, why are you doing this? And then listen to the answer. Two live radio reporters, one outside the stadium and one inside and one outside, discussed on the air how preferable it was to be outside with the generous Christians. At least three that night gave their hearts to Christ. At least one other fan chose not to go to the concert and ended up in a local church for the first time the next Sunday morning. After giving the pizza, one kid commented, wow, Manson never gave me anything. And on a Manson website, it was reported in one response, maybe as good as you could hope for, well, those Christians aren't half bad. Value people. I didn't say it was easy. You know, sometimes I'd like to do spiritual jerk a knot, that's what I'm trying to say. I'd like to jerk a knot in some people. That's not what James teaches me. That's certainly not what Christ taught. Listen with hearing to value people. And then we're told to listen with our heads, to listen to what we're hearing. We know what we should do. The Bible, he says, is our mirror. We look in the Bible. Have you ever done that? Have you ever walked in the mirror and looked at it and thought, man, I'm gaining some weight? So you go, I'm okay. And then you walk out and say, now where's that milkshake, you know? We don't get it. We don't see ourselves. We come to church and God may say, hey, I really want to go home with you today. I really want to do some things in your life. And we say, that's great, that's great. But when we get in the car, somewhere between here and the car, what happens? Listen with your head. Understand that the Bible is our mirror, that we read even those words that don't fit good in our ears. We still need to hear those because those are our growing edges. Those are where God challenges us to do more and to be more. And sometimes God will reflect in an obedient heart and in a willing spirit something we might not ever expect. There's a great story that Tony Campello told years ago. He had been asked to go speak at a Pentecostal college. And before the service, they had him kneel and pray. And eight men came and laid hands on him to pray for him. And one man was one of those guys that, you know, Tony, and he's telling his story, he says, you know, I was down there on my knees, and they were pushing on my head, and I was struggling, and they prayed a long, long time, and there were eight of them, and you can get it. You got it. He said, and then one guy even did this. He said, he was supposed to be praying for me, Tony said. He had his hands on me, and here was his prayer. Dear Lord, you know Charlie Stolfus. He lives in that silver trailer down the road a mile. You know the trailer, Lord, the one just down there on the right-hand side by itself. And Tony said, I wanted to interrupt him and said, hey, man, God already knows where the guy lives. He doesn't need directions. But he said, I just knelt there. Finally, the prayer mercifully came to a fevered pitch, I guess, in that man's life. And he said, Lord, Charlie told me this morning he was going to leave his wife and three kids. Step in, God, and do something. Bring that family back together. With that, the prayer was over. Tony said, I went on and I preached at that church, and I got in my car and I started back. I hit the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and I saw a hitchhiker, and I felt compelled to pick him up. And this is what Capella said. He said, I looked in and picked him up, and he said, we drove for a few minutes, and I said, well, my name's Tony Campello. What's yours? He said, my name is Charlie Stolfus. I couldn't believe it, Campello said. I got off the turnpike at the next exit, and I headed back. He got a bit uneasy with that, and after a moment or two, he said, hey, mister, where are you taking me? He said, I'm taking you home. He narrowed his eyes and asked, why? I said, because you just left your wife and your three children. And that blew him away. Yeah, that's right. With shock written all over his face, he plastered himself against the car door, and he never took his eyes off of me. Then I really did him in as I drove right to his silver trailer. When I pulled up, his eyes seemed to bulge, and he asked, how did you know where I lived? I said, God told me where you live. And I believe God did, Campello said. When he opened the trailer door, he explained to his wife what had happened. She was answering him, you're back, you're back. He whispered in her ear, and the more he talked, the bigger her eyes got. I said with real authority, the two of you go sit down. I'm going to talk to you, and you're going to listen. Man, did they listen. That afternoon, they both invited Jesus Christ into their heart as Lord and Savior. Somebody prayed a believing prayer. Somebody took what they knew in their head, and they put it into action. God's perfect law that he mentions in verse 25 of our text, that perfect law, it will reveal to us how to live, how to be the people that God wants us to be. But we've got to use our head. And finally, we've got to listen with our heart. Knowing God and his way is one thing. Are your ears open? Are you listening? But being obedient with our spirit and our heart, that's another thing. When we listen with our hearts, we will be quick to love others and to meet their needs. In Lakato's book, The Eye of the Storm, he talks about traveling one time on a speaking engagement. He had traveled from San Antonio to Boston, and he had another engagement there in Boston, and then he was flying to Edmonton, Canada. And his plane had landed in Minneapolis, and he had to change planes. And he was thinking about how hungry he was, how tired he was, how crowded the plane was. He was in that kind of mood. You ever had that kind of mood? His back was aching. He didn't think that the speech went well in the last place, and he wasn't really sure how it was going to go. And then he saw a McDonald's, he says. And in that McDonald's, he thought for a moment, well, I'll go get me a burger. At least that'll take care of my hunger. And he says, as I started to walk by, he said, but then I noticed something else. And this will date Licato a little bit. He saw it. He said, I saw a telephone. And I decided to call home. I called my wife, and my wife answered the phone. Licato says, I'm convinced that when my wife gets to heaven, she's going to be at the reception desk welcoming everyone in, because when she answers the phone, you just feel better. He continued, I just talked to her. We settled earth-shaking issues. We talked about the weather in San Antonio versus the weather in New England. We talked about what the girls had been doing at school and that one of them was having a friend to spend the night. We talked about other earth-shaking things like that, he said. After finishing her, I felt so much better. You see, his heart. He's listening with his heart. A minute ago, he was listening with his stomach and his back and a hectic schedule. But suddenly now, he was listening with his heart. Then his wife passed the receiver over to one of his daughters, and she told him all about her day. And she finished with, okay, next one's up. I love you, Dad. And he said, it felt good to be loved. Then the phone was passed over to the next daughter, and she talked for a while, and she said, I miss you, Dad. And Licato said, it felt good to be missed. And then he said, as they passed the phone over to the six-month-old, and I talked baby talk right there in the terminal. He said, you should have seen people walking by. I cooed and shared, and she cooed back. And it felt good to be cooed at. And then we hung up. He says, I forgot how hungry I was. I forgot how tired I was. I forgot my back was hurting. Because I had called home. I had called home. Maybe we ought to call home more often. Maybe we ought to call our heavenly home. Maybe God's just as anxious to talk to us. And I'm sure we'll feel better. I'm sure we'll feel better. You remember the old cell phone commercial of a few years ago? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? The message is over. What have you heard? What has God said about how we value people, about how we think, and about how we love our heart, how we feel? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I'll come in. And we'll have dinner. We'll have dinner together. He who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for valuing us. That you did something big. You rose from the dead. God, now we are listening for that direction. And we've been listening for a while with our heart and with our head. And now, oh God, it's time to speak to you. It's time to tell you, so what? Now that you've told me how to love and reminded me that what I think can be important and what I fill my life up with will make my life what it is. Now, Lord, we say to you, and because of that, this. And because of that, this. Maybe there's someone here today who needs to make some tremendous change in their life. Maybe there is some habit that is so anti-Christ that that habit needs to be given completely over to you today. With repentance and the asking for forgiveness. Maybe we're here today and we just need some adjusting. There are some little things that are out of kilter. There are some little things, some priorities that have gotten turned just a little bit wrong. But now, oh God, we are hearing with two ears and seeing with two spiritual eyes, and now we're seeing them out of kilter. And we're saying, oh God, we've got to make some adjustments. And maybe, Lord, there's one person here today, or two, or three, or four, or five, I don't know. But maybe there's someone here today who doesn't know you in the pardon and the forgiveness of their sin. May they hear you say how much you love them and that you're willing to take the things that separate you from them and remove them completely if they're willing to open their life and say, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. You know every need. You know every choice. You know every decision that could be made, that should be made, and will be made. God, may we be found faithful. In Christ's name we pray. Our hymn is page 441, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart, 441. This morning, what is God saying? And how shall we respond as we stand together? Let me remind us that this Saturday night is the Wild Game Dinner at 6. We have some little invitations that you could hand somebody, invite somebody, and be praying for us. Come and join us for a fun evening. But also, I have challenged our speaker to say, "Thus saith the Lord." And so I hope you'll come and hear what God will lay on Jay's heart as he shares with us and we share that time together. Next Sunday, our youth will be teaching Sunday school. They would appreciate your prayers for them as they prepare Sunday school lessons. And then they'll be leading in our morning worship. And I know they'll appreciate your prayers as they do that as well. And in that vein, next Sunday is our regular scheduled business meeting. Let's be brief, okay? If we can. If it can wait, we can do it quickly and give them the full time. I'm not sure how much time they're going to need, but I want to give them as much time as they need. So if you could help us with that in your reporting next week, that would be helpful as well. And then the following Sunday is Palm Sunday. And we enter the week of the Passion. We'll have the Monday-Thursday service the Thursday before Easter. We have Friends and Family Day scheduled for the Saturday before. We are looking forward to sharing a wonderful time there. And then we'll gather here on Easter Sunday to proclaim that He is risen. He has risen indeed. It will be wonderful worship, wonderful praise. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in God's power and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His listening people in the midst of His people who don't hear. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from this place, for now we have worshiped You and You have strengthened us. And now we are ready for the challenge. Go with us. In Christ's name, amen.
Jesus' love.